I started off with journalism. I started studying at RMIT in the journalism degree there. It initially started with a love for writing. Then when I actually started university, radio was my favourite subject, and I fell in love with that sort of medium to tell stories and reach the community. So from there, I started volunteering in radio while I was at uni, just with SYN, which is a youth radio community radio station, and then went from SYN and built some connections at uni. And then when I finished uni, I didn't really know what was going to happen because I finished just the year before the pandemic started. And so I was working in something unrelated to radio for a bit. And then I thought my career would have to be on hold when the pandemic started. But I was lucky enough that the multilingual news service had started, and I got connected to Russell. And I sent him my resume, and then I started writing radio news for the multilingual news service. Then from there, I went to a few networking events with Media Diversity Australia, and that's where I met Jo from ABC. I was linked to her there. Then I started at ABC casually on radio, and a lot of that was because of the experience at the multilingual news service as well. That was a big part of what I talked about. And then I actually continued working in the multilingual news service while trying to work at ABC as well, because I just thought that I had a different reach with the multilingual news service than what I had at ABC when it came to the community. After being on radio at ABC, I backfilled a role as a reporter in Ballarat, and then from there I applied for the cadetship, and I was really lucky to get the cadetship starting this year. So, yeah. So in terms of the question of what were some of the challenges and opportunities in the pandemic, I think that there was a lot of challenges that were discovered that were there before the pandemic happened, that the pandemic sort of made a lot of community broadcasters and radio turn their attention towards, because for the first time, news really had to do its job of informing the community, and it had to have a big enough reach in that regard as well. But those challenges also led to a lot of opportunities, and like you were saying, it sped up, you know, the process of how we evolved in the way that we were delivering news too. But also from the perspective of a consumer of community radio and having a family that, you know, speak a language. My grandparents' English is very much their second language. And so for them, I found that they were really struggling to get a lot of information, and they really, you know, needed to turn towards news sources that were intentionally trying to reach them, spoke their language and those sorts of things. So yeah, it exposed all of these challenges that were already there before in community radio and broadcasting. And then the opportunity that arose was that a lot of radio, I mean, I even saw at the ABC, you know, they were really trying to say, how can we reach these outer suburban communities? How can we reach communities where we're seeing that a lot of cases are going up, and, you know, people might need information to know what the restrictions are or what the rules are? Even tailoring a lot of our information so that it was culturally appropriate, you know, when we talked about vaccinations, who that was going to, you know, making sure that it was, that the information was not just relevant to a certain audience in Australia, but also ethnic communities and multicultural communities. So I think, yeah, there was a lot of opportunities that came out of the pandemic, and there's been a lot of changes that have happened really quickly. The multilingual news service was really amazing in doing that, because it literally started because it identified this gap in reporting, the fact that a lot of communities weren't getting that COVID information, so they started the service in all these different languages, going into the public housing towers, and then that expanded to us being Victoria-wide and just writing, you know, COVID updates, but also multilingual news in general. So it really gave this opportunity, and then, you know, funding, the government realised, oh, we actually need these services. So yeah, there was a lot of ways in which those opportunities were really sort of respected, and you know, realised that that was really needed in the community. I mean, at NEMBC, when I was working for the multilingual news service, it was nice because we had a very specific audience. We knew who our audience was that we were writing for, and that really played into how we, you know, the way that it was different to writing for radio like ABC, because we knew that we had a very specific audience, that we had to have the information really clear. And sometimes I would write in a style, Tom was one of my editors, sometimes I would write in a style that was too mainstream media, in the sense that it didn't have that targeted community feel. And so that editing always came in where I had to change the wording around things, or we had to not use complicated words. I remember, you know, even things like hotspots. Like, we couldn't use the word hotspot or things like that. So we had to think about, you know, who's our audience so we can tailor it in that way. Now writing at ABC, it's obviously very different because the ABC is trying to, their audience, they want it to be everyone. They want their audience to be everyone. And so that's really difficult when you want to target specific communities. So you have specific shows and podcasts and things like that. But I do sometimes, I've always got in the back of my mind how I wrote things at the Multilingual News Service and then how I write at ABC, and I'm like, I feel like a lot of our listeners at M&S probably wouldn't understand, or this wouldn't be clear enough, the way that we're writing it at ABC, because there's a hard news style that you follow. It's nice to have a specific audience. I think that's the benefit of community radio, is that you can pick a specific audience, you can have a target audience, and then tailor the way that you write and the type of news you write in that sense. So, I mean, it plays a really important role in that regard. Growing up as someone who always looked towards journalism, but maybe didn't see myself in the media or people that looked like me as much in certain mainstream media broadcasters, I think that you can build a lot of trust with the community when you make sure that your media is representative of the community. I think that definitely builds a lot of trust. I mean, that's probably the main... for me, that's probably one of the main points, is just to be relatable. But another thing that I would also say that I think is a really good example of media, not in community radio, but being at the ABC, seeing the amount of effort that they've put into actually going out and contacting communities, and, you know, having, it's almost like, you know, cold calling around to people and really seeing what the issues people were concerned about around the election and those sorts of things. I think that's been, you know, that there was a lot of feedback that even I got from people being surprised that, you know, I was reaching out to them and that they were getting a chance to share what they cared about. So I think really, you know, cold calling and going out to communities or speaking to, you know, organisations that represented certain communities, I thought it was a really great example of media doing its job and trying to be relevant to everyone.